last night.
Yeah, I watched Broncos last night. I watched Broncos this morning.
What'd you think?
Outstanding performance. You know, offensively, very difficult when you see a quarterback playing at that level right now. But it's got a lot of weapons. You know, you got Welker, Thomas, Decker, in whatever order you want to put them in. Three really good running backs. So it's a tough challenge for us this week.
Have you ever seen anybody that goes against the blitz better than he does?
Nah, he's probably him and Brady are the two best I've ever seen. So, you know, we were fortunate we got a chance to practice against Tom here and see him a little bit in the preseason and then, you know, get a chance to see Peyton up close and personal. So you're talking about two of the all-time greats in the game. So it'll be a great challenge for us.
How does step one of the process go when you're watching it this morning? Do you have assistants with you and you guys kind of sharing ideas right on the fly? Or do you watch it by yourself?
Now, we met as a staff all day yesterday. You know, it was just a unique situation because the last game is usually in on Sunday, but because it was a Monday night game, so we had to wait to get the last game in. But we had already broken down all their other games, their preseason games, and then their first two games. So both sides of the ball and special teams met all day yesterday, putting together their game plan, and then, you know, we'll get some work today on the field and some openers and things like that. And then the bulk of our practice will always be Wednesday and Thursday, just like it is in a typical NFL week. So
you played the three games in 11 days, a short amount of time. Now you've had three or four days off. Was it good to kind of to get a little break and maybe go over some evaluation and kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way the schedule laid itself out. So, you know, we knew it going in. We had a plan going in, what we were going to do. And we knew they needed a little bit of a break just because you were playing three games in 11 days. So, you know, they were off over the weekend and on Monday. And then, you know, we're back together today.
Without having to practice and stuff, didn't give you a chance to.
Yeah, I mean, but we had the same thing. We had the same thing planned. We were in all day Friday as a staff. Worked a little bit on Saturday. And then Sunday was off because there was nothing we could do. We didn't have that final game in until Monday. So, and then we're back in all day yesterday. So, just your typical get ready and evaluate and get ready for your next game.
You've coached at altitude before. Have you found that it's as much mental as it is physical, and at the pace with which you like to play, does that make any difference for you more than it would for any other team?
I think what makes a difference when you play at altitude is who you're playing against. So, you know, we played against the University of Colorado a couple years ago, and it wasn't as big a deal. You play against the Broncos, it's a big deal. So it's just a matter of it's an anaerobic sport, so it doesn't affect you the way I think. You know, we're not going to run a marathon there, so I think a lot of it is mental and just understanding that it's not as big a deal as people make it out to be.
Your defense is playing pretty well. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in particular. What have you seen out of watching the film on him that maybe, I don't know how much you've watched him last year before you guys decide not to sign him, but how much is he playing differently?
Doing a good job of covering, you know, really close to receivers. I think he gives them the ability to play some man coverage. And, you know, they're not a zero blitz, you know, just leave those guys out on islands. There's always a free safety, and they've got great help. But he's done a really good job of matching receivers and playing them in real tight man coverage.
In what ways do you think this offense is missing Jeremy Maclin?
I don't really think of it that way. He's not here. So, I mean, we're missing Harold Carmichael, too. I mean, the guys that aren't here, we don't look at our things and say, if this guy was here, if that guy was here. I mean, Jeremy hasn't been here since camp. It's unfortunate. He's training his tail off. I see him every day in here, but we never look at it that, well, Jeremy Maclin, if we had Jeremy Maclin, we, you know, we'd be in a different situation. It's just, I don't think it's productive to think that way because it's never not going to change. You know, Mac's not going to come back till next year. So.
And so then outside of Deshaun, how do you think the secondary targets, if you will, how do you think they're developing and establishing themselves in the offense?
I think they're doing a good job. It just depends on how people decide they want to deploy their coverages and cover you. I think Riley made a huge catch for us in a red zone situation against the Chargers. You know, I think, you know, it really just depends on how you're going to try to deploy yourself and match up to us. So,
Is there a way in your offense for there to be more chip blocking to help out certain tackles, or is that something that you?
Yeah, we do that. If you watch the film, study it, we do that. Yeah. Brent's in there a lot, chipping when he gets out sometimes in some of our protections where Brent's not a primary receiver and is not the first guy down the field where he may be running an underneath shallow route or a flat route. You know, he's looking to chip on his way out. So,
is there something you feel like maybe you have to do more to help out Lane, who kind of seems like he's struggling?
No, we've done that. If you watch the tape, you can take a look at it.
Say more.
If there's situations where you would prefer the defense being nickel coverage, is there a way for you to deploy Ertz more as double tight end and keep them in that?
It just depends on who you're playing. You know, it's a philosophical question, but some teams match you 100% of the time. Some teams match by down and distance, so it really just depends on who you're playing.
Jim, are you considering any, or will there be any different starters on defense for this Broncos game?
Right now, no.
Jim, not that you don't want to score every time you get the ball, but do you take more chances? Do you have to when you know you're going to play a team that's going to put a lot of points on the board?
Do you take more chances?
Yeah, I mean, is there more chances knowing you're going to have to score probably more than you normally would against
them? I mean, we always consider who we're playing and what we're doing when we're making our decisions on whether, you know, like, I think you're asking, do you go for it on fourth down in some of those situations? It you always have to factor in the opponent, but you also have to factor in your defense. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that go into it. It's not a, it never has been, and I never look at it as a pure statistical thing. The statistics say that, you know, 62% of the time you're going to convert, so you got to go with that number. I think it, where are you putting them? Are you going to put that guy back out on the field? You know, I know Coach Belichick had one a couple years ago where he went for it on fourth down in his own territory because he didn't want to give the ball back to Peyton Manning, you know, and didn't get it, you know, but his thought process was if we punted it, he was going to march the field anyway. So I think sometimes you definitely have to take your opponent into consideration when making those decisions.
Your defense hasn't been beat downfield a lot on a lot of long throws. A lot of the yards against you guys are underneath stuff. So, yeah, so far. So do you see the problem as more not getting off blocks and wrapping up tackles than it is coverage?
I can't answer you in one question or one answer that is – you know, I think that it just you just can't do that. You can't say it's this. If it's one thing, if it was just this, then we would work on that and fix that. I mean, it's a combination. We got people into third and long the other night, and then they threw a nice little screen, downfield screen, and on third and 17, they made blocks and made a play. You know, on other times, it's, you know, we're a step away, we're there, but the ball's on the back shoulder instead of the front shoulder. It was a great location pass by Alex, and we just missed tipping it. So it depends on the individual situation on that particular play to be able to give you a specific answer on what it is. But you just can't look at it and in one sentence say it's this. Because if it was just this and one sentence was the answer, then we would fix it and work on that. So
Dorning is cornerback like Manning. I mean, how important is it to, like, have a good pass rush on him and everything? Like, you know, that's pretty obvious.
Not that important. So, I mean, we actually didn't even think of that. I mean, it's in everything. I mean, but the one thing with Peyton that you realize is that he, you know, you're not gonna, you just can't do one thing against him. I mean, he's just such a great mind at the quarterback position that, you know, you may say, hey, this blitz beat him, but if you beat him the first time on the blitz, he's gonna come back and beat you on that blitz. You know, I think you got to try to give him different looks. You got to try to make sure, but you also have to try to make sure that your disguise isn't a liability where you're so far away from your work that you can't get to your work, you know. So, yeah, we fooled him because he didn't see the blitz coming, but we're not close enough to the receiver to now be in coverage. So there's, you know, there's that cat and mouse game that's going to go on. But, you know, again, you're talking about playing against one of the all-time greats. So
Jeff was asking you about keeping a tight end, which you said you've done. Do you feel like this is something, your quarterback's taking a lot of hits, that you need to do more of and just keep more guys in more frequently?
No, I mean, if you look at it, there's times where we've had seven guys in protection and Mike got sacked. You know, they ran around our left tackle. So, you know, sometimes it's just you got to give them – it depends, again, on each individual situation. You can look at it. You know, there's times where Lane gave up a sack where he thought the guard was with him. So he could get beat inside, but the guard wasn't with him on the inside. So there's not one answer that is the answer to say, well, you can get everybody can go back on this particular play. If we had done this, that's great, but we can't do that. Can't go back. So – do we keep a tight end in protection? Do we use seven-man protection? Yeah, we do use that. So,
is part of the sacks also a function of, like, perhaps holding the ball a little longer than maybe he should?
I just answered that question. It depends on which one you're talking about. You know, there could have been a sack where Mike held the ball too long. There also could be a sack where we're on seven-man protection and he thinks he's picked up and he gets hit at the top of his drop. So,
how's Mike's pattern?
No, I don't see that as a pattern, Les. That's a good question. I don't see that as a pattern.
How's Mike's overall decision-making been on specifically the read option plays?
Good.
What is a good kind of percentage for – I mean, obviously you want him to make the right decision 100% of the time, but is there kind of a level that he'll get to later in the season as he does it more?
No, I don't know where you're going with that question, but I think Mike's done a really good job in our zone read game. And I know the one perception out there is we don't run as much zone read as everybody thinks. So there's a lot of times where Mike's handing the ball off and carrying out a fake, and people think it's a zone read play. It's just a run play that's called, and he was supposed to give the ball 100% of the time and gave the ball 100% of the time. So just every time Mike is in the shotgun and hands off doesn't mean it's a zone read play.
With how
How's the health of the... So does it have to be an unblocked defender? Is that what makes it a...
It depends on how the defense is deployed. Sometimes there's never an unblocked defender because they only got five guys in the box. So there's we can block five on five. So that's not a zone read play to us. That's a give the ball situation and, you know, carry out a good fake and see if maybe you can take somebody from the secondary out of the play.
How's the health of Chung, Vic, and McCoy?
Vic and McCoy are fine. They're 100%. Pat won't practice today, so we'll see where he is, but I know he's out today.
Practice.
Everybody's out. Everybody's practicing except for Chung.
When you go back and look at a guy like Manning, who has obviously a long history on film, or what Bill does, how far back do you go? And do you focus on teams that play similarly to you defensively that he's playing against, or do you simply look at his most recent body of work?
We've gone just to the Broncos tape, so it's a different system. There's some carryover from the Colts, but you really got to see how they're deploying him. And I think even more importantly, you know, they didn't have Wes Walker last year. So, you know, how different is the offense this year with Wes as a receiver as opposed to last year? So, you know, you're still going to say very recent.
Are you just as interested in looking at games where he does well as in games where he doesn't do well?
The games he doesn't do well, there's not many of them, so you can get through them pretty quickly.
Peyton commented that it was nice of the NFL to give the Eagles 10 days and the Broncos only 6. Any thoughts on that?
No.
I mean, is that a nice edge to have to get the extra days?
When do we go play? We got to play in a parking lot, we'll go play in a parking lot. We don't care. We played 11 games in three games in 11 days, so I don't care. That's got nothing to do. We only worry about what we can control, and we don't control the scheduling, so...
Is Chung still in the sling, or do you think he might be
No, he's not in a sling, but he's not going to practice today.
What about this week? Do you think he might be able to?
I'm a day-to-day guy, so I know he's not practicing today, and if he practices tomorrow, I'll make sure I tell you before we start.
Earl
will be out there for him, yeah.
What do you mention how they didn't have Walker last year, sort of changes things. How much is it radically different from what they're doing this year?
Radically different, but you're also talking about one of the all-time great receivers, you know, and I think his ability to control the middle of the field and really create some mismatch problems for you, it challenges you from a personnel standpoint. They end up having a linebacker on him, which at times is a big mismatch just because of Wes's athletic ability. So, you know, to have that type of guy that can play between the two outside guys, between Decker and Damaris, it really makes it difficult just because of the way he understands coverage. And there's a lot of times when you think, hey, that's pretty good defense, but he still comes up with a big play on him. So.
You've run the ball well on third down, but struggled throwing it. I think Mike's 7-for-20 on third down. What are you seeing when you look at
third down in general, or short, long, medium? I mean, we break it down specifically into.
Yeah, he's 7-for-20 overall.
Yeah, because a lot of it ends up being third and long. So I think that the distances on third and long and the completion percentage on third and long are going to be a little bit different than third and short. So. Okay.